The following is a class given by His Holiness Jaya Patakaswami Maharaj on April 12, 1980 in New Orleans, Louisiana. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 16, Text 11.
King Fritu was born of the dead body of King Vena, as fire is produced from Arani wood. Thus King Fritu will always remain just like fire, and his enemies will not be able to approach him. Indeed, he will be unbearable to his enemies, for although staying very near him, they will never be able to approach him, but will have to remain as if far away. No one will be able to overcome the strength of King Prithu. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Arani wood is a kind of fuel used to ignite fire by friction. At the time of performing sacrifices, one can ignite a fire from Arani wood. Although born of his dead father, King Prithu would still remain just like fire. Just as fire is not easily approached, King Prithu would be unapproachable by his enemies, even though they would appear to be very near him. Thus end the purport by Srila Prabhupada. King Prithu was born of the dead body of King Vena, as fire is produced from Arani wood. Thus King Prithu will always remain just like fire, and his enemies will not be able to approach him. Indeed, he will be unbearable to his enemies, for although staying very near him, they will never be able to approach him, but will have to remain as if far away. No one will be able to overcome the strength of King Prithu. No one will be able to overcome the strength of King Prithu. And even though the enemies of King Prithu are very near, they have to remain as if they are far away. Of course, Lord Prithu is a Shaktavesh avatar of Krishna. So wherever there is Krishna, Maya cannot stand. Krishna Surjo Sama Maya Hoyandokar Jaha Krishna Taha Maya Nahi Adhikar. So this Krishna conscious movement, Srila Prabhupada said, is an incarnation of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is a branch of his transcendental tree, the tree of which he is the gardener, as well as he is the tree. So this movement, although situated in so many countries, so many cities around the world, right in the midst of civilizations based upon Rajagun and Tamagun, although envious-minded people are very near, still they have to stay as if far away. That is the protection which Krishna gives. Srila Prabhupada so often said that purity is the force. We must maintain our purity, and then Krishna always protects us. Because this movement is not different from Krishna, every preacher, every book distributor, every devotee who's going out, sticking his neck out, so to speak, to present Krishna consciousness, not for any ulterior motive, but for the benefit of the conditioned souls in this material world who are bound up in ignorance. They are protected by the mercy of Krishna. So, of course, purity has many connotations. Purity, we study, of course, is there's internal purity and external purity. We take a bath for external purity and we chant Hare Krishna and worship the deities for internal purity. The internal purity, of course, means much more, because with chanting comes the deep obligation we have to our spiritual master. Everyone in this material world is living in a very abominable condition, because they're taking that this body and this mind and this intelligence, which has been received due to so many repetitions of birth and death in this material world, they're taking that this polluted body, mind, and intelligence is their self, and therefore they're suffering. In so many bodies, in so many situations, they're suffering in anxiety, in desire, in so-called misery and so-called enjoyment. They're being tossed around this ocean of material world. Therefore, their existence is most abominable. So the spiritual master, he gives one the seed of pure devotion. Brahmanda brahmite kono bhagavan jeev guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lota beach. Krishna sends the spiritual master, and by the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets the seed of devotion. And that seed of devotion is so valuable, it saves one from that abominable condition. So the devotee has two obligations. One is he has to tend the seed which sprouts and turns into a plant, into a tree. He has to tend that, because that is a service given to him by his spiritual master. And with that, which is part of the tending itself, he has to fulfill whatever orders, whatever responsibilities the spiritual master gives to him. It's like in the description of taking initiation. When one chants Hare Krishna for some time and is very strict, then the spiritual master gives Gayatri Mantra. And Srila Prabhupada said, when this Gayatri Mantra is given, that does not mean that he's already perfect. That means now he's ready to make further progress. From that point, now he can become more sincere, more advanced. The spiritual master gives his mercy, seeing the good qualities in someone, You see. Not that there is no bad quality, or that taking second initiation means that having gotten our thread, now there's no more bad quality, everything about me is perfect. Doesn't mean that. It means the spiritual master has seen some sincerity of purpose. Therefore, to reinforce that, he has given some special mercy. You see. In this way, the spiritual master gives his mercy many times. Seeing some spark of hope. But the disciple, it is his duty to always remember that without the mercy of his spiritual master, he was simply in the most abominable state. In the most abominable state, and by the mercy of the spiritual master, he's been taken out of that abominable state. Krishna is working through the spiritual master, is present as the spiritual master. The spiritual master who is in his own right a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So when we chant Hare Krishna, naturally, we should be relishing that chanting. In fact, the devotees of that previous acharyas, in their prayers, they say that if someone is chanting and he's not crying, it must be known that when he's hearing the holy name of Krishna, of Lord Chaitanya, his heart isn't melting, his heart is hard like a stone. Very unfortunate. So the Bhajanarandis, they take a little taste and they want to go on relishing. But Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he has revealed that actually the highest taste comes in chanting with so many devotees and in giving that devotion to others. So the responsibility that Prabhupada has given to all of his followers in the disciplic succession, and which has been given before him by the previous acharyas, and ultimately by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that every person, every house, should be approached and they should be begged to please take up the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is that order? To chant Hare Krishna. To worship Krishna. And to study the teachings of Krishna. Like the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavat. Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shikha. This was the agya, the order that Lord Nityananda and Haridas, they received. So although the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come as Lord Nityananda, and Lord Brahma has come as Haridas, they're going from every house to beg the people to chant Hare Krishna, to take up this message. So, that is how we relish. Is that whether it's relishing or not, anyway, we first have our first duty to our spiritual master. We can't forget that. You see, we are completely subordinate to his mercy. So Srila Prabhupada wanted, all the great devotees want, that Every person should get the chance to take up chanting. I remember that before I went to India in 1969, 1970, I visited, at that time, we were just moved into this New Dwarka, Watsika Avenue address. That time, there were small Radha Krishna deities that were taken around the block, and we would give a morning report. It was very inspiring. Jai! And all the devotees would give their report, and Srila Prabhupada was very satisfied. So one morning, Srila Prabhupada was taking a walk, and he mentioned that it's not that everyone will be a devotee, shaved up and living in the temple. He didn't say shaved up, but he said living in the temple. Not that everyone will be living in the temple, but just like there are so many churches, or so there'll be so many temples, and some devotees who are fully giving their time for preaching, instructing, they'll be living there. And others, hundreds and thousands, they'll be coming sometimes to the temple. In their house, they'll be worshiping and chanting. In 1970, I remember that he mentioned that. And this is also in the fifth canto, in one place Srila Prabhupada says, in the purport, that there's no reason why every person in every society all over the world cannot chant Hare Krishna in his home with his family. Every night. This is a mission. Everyone may not be able to come in our temple, although many more will, hundreds and thousands and many more temples will be made. But everyone can chant in their home. This type of preaching was started by Lord Nityananda, of course, and that was revived by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Namhat program, where individual houses or in groups anyway, he would encourage them to open up little shops, Shraddha Kutis, houses of faith. And of many programs have started now around the society, a few programs have started, to encourage people to form the broad Varnashram base the Prabhupada said was yet to be completed in his work, contributing something every month, at least chanting in their homes to form a broad congregation. In this way, there's so many things yet to be done, so many books yet to be distributed to cultivate all these people. But Srila Prabhupada, he was very concerned about the future of the movement which he had spent so much time to cultivate. His whole life he simply prepared, we see from Srila Gurupad's manifested biography, how he was preparing from his youthful days, see, simply for preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. I remember that in Vrindavan, Mayapur, also many times he mentioned that if you can't, even if you don't expand, I don't mind. in one sense. Even if you don't expand, at least all the good respect, all the buildings, all the things which I have been able to expand, at least maintain. Don't let that deteriorate the smallest bit. Of course, especially in Mayapur, we see the very striking example as the practically before our eyes we see the Gaudiya Mutt crumble with the paint falling off the walls. If they had just maintained the respect that Bhaktisiddhanta had established, the Viceroy of India had gone to the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. If they even maintained that respect today, so many bogus philosophies would not be rampant. So, of course, we're not going to be satisfied with just maintaining. We want to also expand. But the point is how deeply Srila Prabhupada felt that every step we take must be a step forward. We should be very careful. We should be very cautious. We should be very responsible. What is responsibility? Every disciple is responsible to his spiritual master. See? What is the principle of devotional service? We are responsible to our spiritual master. And he is responsible to his spiritual master. And he is responsible to his spiritual master. Ultimately, everyone is responsible to Krishna through disciplic succession. So, the order of the spiritual master, that is supreme. Everyone has to serve that order. Whether that individual is a spiritual master or whether he is not a spiritual master, whoever he may be, the order of the spiritual master is supreme over all the disciples. You see, we have seen that in our sampradaya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had started a panchayat of 10 men. Panchayat means governing body. And he said that whatever they meet privately and decide, that is not different from Lord Nityananda's verdict. That is to be accepted as Nityananda's desire. You see. Then we saw how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he ordered his disciples that you cooperate together, make a governing body. And failing to do so, now everything is crumbled. Just the trace is there. And Prabhupada has very lucidly expressed all these things in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, third part, first few verses, when he's describing Advaita Acharya's 6 sons, 3 being Asar, or separated because they deviated from the Acharya, and 3 being bona fide because they maintained their loyalty to the order of Advaita Gosai. Even a son of Mahavishnu avatar, if he deviates from Mahavishnu, is no longer considered to be a real son. He's considered to be asar. So, it's an unending struggle to fight with our mind, to fight with our materialistic mind and senses and materialistic intelligence. We have to fight with our enemies or make them our allies by simply making them subservient to the instruction of our spiritual master. So just like our previous acharyas, Srila Prabhupada also said that there must be a governing body, and he made the governing body in his presence. He didn't leave it up to chance. And he sat through so many initial meetings also, just to make sure that everything went nicely. And when he entered into his eternal pastimes, although he's still present here, there's no doubt about that. It's not that he's entered and left us. He's still present, so much present. So carefully watching what is going on. So carefully giving out punishment and reward to make us aware of our mistakes and our success. But at that time when he, however, left from our physical vision, before then, in his will, verbally, so many different ways, he said that he wanted the society to go on under the governing body commission. That is the order of the spiritual master. Of course, he also appointed certain devotees to give initiation. And these devotees are his disciples. So in spite of the fact that they have to be spiritual master, it is their duty to give spiritual instruction exactly as they heard it from their spiritual master, exactly as is bona fide and authorized in the scripture. Definition is there. What is guru? Guru is one who simply repeats what he heard from his spiritual master and from Krishna as he realized it. And that should be always completely in line with the Shastra. So in spite of some members being initiating acharyas, the devotees in general should be mature enough to see that they have the order of their spiritual master to follow. And that is the highest principle. And that order is that in this ISKCON society, the governing body commission decision is to be accepted as the desire of the previous acharyas, the desire of Krishna, of Srila Prabhupada, especially. And therefore, they have to accept that instruction, you see. Even though they are absolute spiritual masters or devotees, still that absolute order they receive from their spiritual master, you see, takes great and supreme precedence over everything else. Srila Prabhupada has given us so many instructions in the scriptures. In fact, he's given so many instructions how to be a devotee, how to be a disciple, how to be a spiritual master, how to be a king, how to be a kshatriya, how to be a Brahmin, how to be a Vaishya, how to be a Sudra. He's given all the instructions, how to be a grihastha, how to raise children, how to give up grihastha and be a sannyas. He's given all the instructions so that for 10,000 years this movement will go on expanding, and so that everyone has a clear idea how he should act. Because nobody is independent of the Shastra. Lord Chaitanya would sit and discuss with senior devotees Shastra. Who is today the great acharya of the Balav Sampradaya, he came and wanted to present. He had so many conceptions from And his conceptions of Shastra were not accepted by Lord Chaitanya. And that has been very carefully given, although he was such an advanced person. Of course, he couldn't swallow it. So he went off and he made his own sect. Or took another initiation from Vishnu Swami's sect. So therefore, their sect does not understand what is Madhur Jirasa. They don't understand what is the highest point. They just go up to a certain level. But they're devotees, no doubt. So, here we see our Prithu Maharaj. He was such a great ruler that he was just like fire. Similarly, every devotee should be just like fire. Fire, when it's controlled, is very useful and it is very powerful. Uncontrolled fire means that it is very destructive. So devotees, they're like fire, but that fire is applied, you see. That's why they get continually more fuel. It's given down the disciplic succession. And the preaching goes on expanding. As much electricity as is required for illuminating a light, that much is given from the powerhouse. It's an automatic system. Condensers and relay switches. As much as it draws, that's how much is taken. We have a generator at Mayapur. If we turn on 20 kilowatts of lights, the generator will work on a 20 kilowatt load. It won't produce more. And if we turn on all the lights like at the festival, we burn the fuse. Because it had only 60 kilowatt load capacity, but we turned on 80 kilowatts. All on one phase. Three-phase system. And Vishnupad went down and got everyone jumping to fix the fuse. So no one even knew more than a few hours. So, the point is that as much as we can give out Krishna's mercy, Krishna will provide so much more load, so much more electricity, shakti. We simply have to see that there's no short circuits. That we're not having what they know as leak. If you have a loose wire touching the wall, it creates an electrical leak. The unlimited electricity just drawn off. So much energy is expended for no useful purpose. In fact, if you touch the wall, you get a shock. It can even be very dangerous. So there is where purity comes in. That by purity, we are insulating ourselves from any leaks, from any contact with Maya conductors. And we're simply taking that energy right where it needs to go. Right to the conditioned soul's heart. Igniting their wood-like heart and making it fire also. In this way, the fire goes on spreading. And more bulbs are lit. More and more spiritual fires are ignited. So Prabhupada knew that when a little spiritual light, little fire is started, little plant is there, it's very fragile. It can be easily destroyed. Especially the faith that he created in many countries was after a lot of effort and is very thin, can be easily destroyed. So therefore, he wanted us to be very careful to act exactly in line with his instructions. So this goes down to every distributor, goes down to every devotee, goes to every single person. The more that one is responsible, the more he has to be responsible and understand how he is so liable to Srila Prabhupada. But every single devotee, how he's presenting himself, how is he presenting Krishna? He's not presenting himself. When someone sees a devotee, he doesn't think of that person as an individual sense. He thinks of him in the sense that he's a member of the ISKCON society. He's a Hare Krishna. Therefore, we had difficulty in India one time, you see. The one devotee was caught stealing. You know what happens sometimes. And there were some devotees from America, and they said, all right, throw him out of the temple. But first, cut off his sikha. This is an old pastime. But in India, everybody has a sikha. So they cut his sikha off and threw him. I went to the police and they cut off my sikha. They take away my Hindutva, my Hinduism. And the police became all angry. How can you cut off his sikha? Well, he was stealing, he was smoking. He was, well, I smoke, I steal. I take bribes, I got a sikha. So it was a very touchy thing. So in India, you see, we can't do such things. Okay, so this is, I had to explain to the other devotees, they couldn't understand the Indian devotee. Why is this going on? He says, no, you see, in the West, nobody wears sikha but Hare Krishna devotees. So if they go out and do something, people will say, oh, look, there's Hare Krishna. In India, of course, it's not necessary. There you can send them out with sikha, no one will know. So the point is that we're a society and we're a sampradaya. And actually, we have very good chance. In fact, we have no doubt of success if we simply stick to these principles. There's no doubt. Just like Prithu Maharaj, even there's so many enemies, they couldn't get near him. They couldn't approach. They couldn't find a fault or an opportunity to attack him. He was so powerful and he was so mysterious. They didn't know where he was coming, where he was going, what he was doing, how much money he had, didn't have, where everything about him was opulent. Because he was covered by Krishna's transcendental potency. So similarly, we have to always be under the shelter of Jagannath Subhadra Balaram, Subhadra Jogamaya. When we're under her shelter, no one can really see what is happening. You see. And somehow or another, we lose their shelter. And Krishna's Mahavaya shelter means big trouble. So that we always have to be very careful to be under the shelter of Yogamaya. Yogamaya samangvita. We have to be under the shelter of Krishna. And that we can only be when we are always fixed up and following the instruction of the previous acharyas. So I was looking forward to coming to New Dwarka for the Rath Yatra festival. But Rameshwar called me here early, or I don't know now whether I'll have the fortune to be here also during Rath Yatra. I went down to Venice Beach just to see the previous site. But it's very nice to be back and have the holy darshan of Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish and Nitai Gaur, Rukmini Dwarkanath, Jagannath Subhadra Balaram, and to be present amongst all the great Vaishnavas of this noble and transcendental community, and to be present amongst so many great devotees from all over the world, the present-day acharyas and GBC members. So, Srila Rameshwar was saying that they always wanted to have an ISKCON festival. So by his purity, this new Dwarka has been the place of coming of so many devotees. So somehow I also slipped in just to take advantage of this association. So I think there's other programs.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Ramachandra Swami ki.